Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at last week's message titled Nehemiah and the Rebuilding of the Wall, look ahead to this week's message titled The Birth of a King, and we're going to look at what now, this election that just happened, and how are we as a church to respond. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, last week we looked at the title of the message, Rebuilding the Walls, and we primarily focused on Nehemiah. But we did start out by remembering how did we get there, and this idea that Zerubbabel had gone back, had been sent back to rebuild the temple, and who was Ezra, and why was it important that his lineage went all the way back to Aaron? Well, we got to see that even though the temple had been rebuilt, there were still issues going on, and Ezra brought about a revival by simply reading God's word. And see, there was many problems, one of which was intermarrying with neighboring cultures and worshiping other gods. But in the end, the response by Ezra was that he was tore his clothes in grief. And he wept, and he prayed, and he confessed the people's sins and asked God for mercy, and the people repented. And so then we continued on this journey, and some 13 years later, and a man named Nehemiah. But he had gotten this message from his brother that things were in disarray back in the holy city. Yes, the temple had been rebuilt, and yes, there was this revival of sorts, but the people had fallen away, and the city walls were not rebuilt. And this was a major problem. The city walls were a sign of so many things, including protection, and it was necessary to keep things in order. So Nehemiah goes back. He was sent by the king with supplies, orders for safe travel, and orders for the surrounding areas to not be a problem. So Nehemiah goes back, and in fact, he surveys the land and realizes things are indeed in bad shape. Nehemiah begins the process of rebuilding, and immediately there was opposition. And in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, we saw that people were insulted, and they decided to pray to God. And they continued to rebuild the wall. In fact, they built it till it was about half height, and they prayed more. And even though there was opposition, they decided to post guard, and half the people were working and half the people were guarding. And they also instituted this idea that if the trumpet was called, everyone would run to that area and drop everything to help. As the story continues, we see that opposition didn't stop, and there was people that tried to kill Nehemiah, but he stood strong. At the time, the Israelites did in this time like they always did, and they gathered and they heard the word of the Lord. And this word for the Lord gave them courage, and the people enacted the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they were called to listen and obey to God's word. Our response to this was very simple. We, just like the Jews, need to hear God's word, and we need to do this today. And we are to likewise share the story of the good word with other people. And this comes to mind in this idea of discipleship and evangelism. See, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gave his disciples a command. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commands. And we too today have that same calling. And then we finally looked at Galatians chapter 5 and how, what is the proof that we are doing this? Well, quite simply, Paul says it's in the fruit of your life. And our fruit will either match that of our sinful nature or that of the holy God. And we pray that our fruit tells others that we are indeed following God. Well, we left off last week with that story and that account of Nehemiah. This week, we're going to look at the title of the message, which is called Birth of a King. Well, what happens in between Nehemiah and the birth of Jesus? Well, the short answer is a lot of silence. We will look a little bit about how the prophet Malachi called the people back to revival. See, even though Nehemiah led and refinished the walls, there eventually was a time of falling away. The people had backslidden, the priests were worldly, and the people were far from God. And so in Malachi, the prophet Malachi brings God's message. And he really brings this question, do the people really love God? He also brings the message that God condemns their sin. And finally, that God seeks repentance. But isn't that really what this whole big story is about? Our sin, God's love, and the claim that we need to repent and come back to Him. There was a period of nearly 400 years where things were happening, and we know that there were impressive things like the Maccabean Revolt. But there was no prophets or leaders who rose to the level of inclusion in the record of the Holy Scriptures. In other words, essentially, God was silent. Now, this didn't mean that God wasn't working, as we've learned in the book of Esther, that just even if His name isn't mentioned, it still means that God is at work. And in fact, God sent out a message that was loud and clear. And at just the right time, God spoke. And He spoke in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose birth, life, death, and resurrection changed everything. And this week, we're going to look at some important statements. The first is one, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to look at John chapter 1 and this profound statement that links all the way back to Genesis about how Jesus, while this is the manifestation of God in flesh, the Word, as it says, capital W-O-R-D, was God and was. This word in the Greek is called logos, and it's a divine expression. It is the very person of God Himself. See, God hasn't changed. God is who God has always been. It's just now this God that we know has shown Himself as a real life human being. And it's Jesus. The second point is that the Word is revealed in Jesus. And we see that in John chapter 1, in the beginning. And we read that also in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God. And we see how God spoke existence. Thirdly, we're going to see that Jesus was born, yes, as God, but also as an ordinary person to ordinary people. And we'll take a look at Joseph and Mary, His earthly parents, and how they were, in fact, regular, ordinary people called to do an extraordinary thing with the power of God. Fourthly, we'll see that the Word, Jesus, was turned away by many. While He was sent to be the answer, this world looked Him in the face and said, no, thank you. And in many ways, the world is too crowded. From the beginning, when the innkeeper turned Mary and Joseph away because his space was too crowded for Jesus. The world is always too crowded for Jesus, whether that's through busyness, deadlines, headlines, the use of our cell phones, long lines, our own itineraries, full schedules, and jam-packed lives. Our response is going to look at exactly that, on how no matter how much you have crowded out Jesus in your own life, it is never too late to invite Him in. Not too late for Abraham at 100 years old. It was not too late for Moses after 40 years in the wilderness. It was not too late for Jonah running from God. It was not too late for Saul as God met him on the very road he was traveling. It was not too late for Peter after he denied Jesus 3 times. It was not too late for Thomas who doubted Jesus. And today, no matter what has crowded things out in your life and how you've allowed this to happen, it is not too late for you to invite Jesus in. I can't wait to deliver this message, and it's an exciting transition as Jesus, the Son of God, has entered the story. And now, with the remainder of my time in this message, I want to just talk briefly to you about this. I've been asked many times already this week, what is my response? And what should my response be? And I think you know what I'm talking about. Last Tuesday, we had a pretty serious deal of an election. And, you know, despite all of the talk about it taking days or even a week to find out who won the presidency, it was a very clear message that was delivered by the American people. Now, I don't want to talk about specifically who you voted for or who I voted for or whether I was happy or not on what happened. But what I want to talk to you today about is from your pastor's perspective, what is our response? The answer is that our response is what our response always should be. What is our message? What is our mission as a church, as a follower of Jesus, as a man of God, as a father, me, as a husband, as a member of this church, as a member of this community? And here's what my answer always is. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through verse 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to him. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So what is the short answer is this: the church, me as a pastor, me as a Christian, me as a father, me as a husband, me as a follower of Jesus, my responsibility and my response is this: I am going to keep doing what Jesus told me to do. I am going to go wherever I'm at. I'm going to declare his name. But first and foremost, I must remember what was the first thing he said in verse 18. All authority has been given to him. See, Jesus is clearly stating he is still God. He always has been. And even though he has physically left this earth as he went back to heaven, he has left us with another member of the Godhead, of the Trinity, is called the Holy Spirit. And we are given that Spirit as a down payment, as a reminder that we are followers of Jesus. We are sons and daughters of him, of God Almighty, and we're followers and we're fellow laborers with the Holy Spirit. We are called to do what we are called to do. We are called to proclaim God in every way possible. We are called to be concerned more with people's eternal state than who they voted for. We are called to be ones that bring the message of truth and love combined together, never letting the pendulum swing too far one direction or the other. We must always speak truth, and we must always do it with love. And ultimately, our chief concern is bringing God the glory by obeying his commands. And summarized like this, Jesus said the two greatest commandments, number one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and body. And the second is like it, is love your neighbor as yourself. But let me give you a little bit more detail on this. On Acts chapter 2, Peter, after seeing the risen Christ and seeing him raised up, goes out, has given the Holy Spirit, and delivers in Acts chapter 2 this amazing message. And starting in verse 36, he says, he gives us some clues as to how we are to live as followers of Christ, as members of a church. Starting in verse 36, it says this: "Therefore, for let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." That's number one. We must recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 37, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.'" In other words, you must recognize that Jesus is Lord, but recognizing that he's Lord is not enough there. We must repent from our ways and be baptized. In other words, we must follow him. That's number two. Then as we continue on, it says, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call." In other words, for everyone that calls on the name of Jesus, we will be saved. We should be repenting from our errant ways. We must be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Picking this back up in verse 40. "With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourself from this corrupt generation.' Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to his number that day." You realize that means 3,000 people accepted this truth. They believed it. They acted upon it, and they received the Holy Spirit. Continuing on in verse 42, we see further callings here. They are devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In that one verse, we see really four key elements there. The biblical teaching. You know, at that time, the apostles' teaching was the truth, right? That's what they had. Now, today, we have what's called the Bible, which is the apostles' teachings and the writings by God through men to give us his word. We are to be devoted to Bible study. We are to be devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In other words, we're gathering with other people in fellowship and eating together, spending time together, and spending time in prayer. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe and with many wonders, and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. In other words, there was amazing miracles that were happening. The work of the Lord was evident to them. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. There was terrific unity. They were pulling in the same direction. This showed their unity and their following of Christ. Verse 45, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friends, our mission today is the same as it was back in those days at the very first beginning of the church. We are to devote ourselves to the Lord. We are to be after His business. We are to be focusing our time, fellowshipping with one another, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, praying together, gathering together, working together, using the resources God has given us. And as a local church, we have the ability to pool these resources and reach out and help any who are in need. In short, we are to do exactly what Jesus said. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to be devoted to His teachings, devoted to what He's about. And we're to love others. We're to be in fellowship. We're to be there to help one another. We're to be there to support one another. We're to reach out in our community and make a difference for Jesus. So I know we've just completed an election, and I know this is a tumultuous time, as the next 2 months are going to be a time of transition, and who knows what's going to happen. But I know this, that regardless of what happens in Washington, what happens here in Alliance, Ohio, is it's important that we follow what God has called us to do. Devote ourselves to His teaching. Love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, with all that we are. Following Him should be who we are, not just something we do. And spend as much time, be devoted to His word in prayer, gathering with other believers, spending time in Bible study in small groups, just doing life together. You know, this last week, I had the opportunity to be a part of the services for a member of our church. And we talked to the family many times that week and the days after. And one statement that stuck out to me the most was, I don't know how anyone would go through something like this without a church family. And that was exactly right. God has given us a church to be together, but most importantly, to serve Him together and to seek His will and His glory in all we do. And that, my friends, is what we should be doing always. Well, I hope this message today has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And until next time, have a great day.
You've been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes, or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.